Hello and welcome to another episode of the IF 2018 podcast. I am John and I am here with somebody from Eye Opening Theatre talking about their show Love to Bits. Just let them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Joanna Goga. I'm part of the Eye Opening Theatre company and I am the writer and lead actress from Love to Bits.
That's good. Thank you very much. So tell us a little bit about the show, what it's about.
So it's basically a show about love stories. It has two story arcs, and the main story arc focuses on the lead character, Cynthia, and kind of the experiences she has had with love and the people she's dated from when she was very little, when she liked her first boy at the age of 4 and until present times when she's 23. And then there is a secondary story arc that creates the transitions between the scenes in the main story arc. And those bits are verbatim theater. What that means for maybe audience that hasn't heard of it is that it's based on what real people have said. So it's actual people's answers to the question, what is love?
Have you gone out to speak to people?
Yes.
What sort of people are you asking?
So we try to get as much of a variety as possible, because I think that's what makes it interesting. Because if we only ask people who are our age or our gender or our race or whatever, then it wouldn't have been that interesting.
No.
So we just asked as many people as possible and kind of chose the best answers or most interesting answers or more varied to put in the show. And Nadia Murgia is the other actress, and she plays 12 characters.
That's the 12 different people that you've got.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds good. Those answers, I guess, you've got is kind of for those secondary arcs, but the first arc, there's main characters. Love story. How did you develop that?
So basically, I just it was inspired by my own experiences. A lot of it is kind of stuff that has happened to me, and I just from my experiences, I understood that it's very important for. So that's kind of the message of the play. It's very important for young women to love themselves and for people in general. But I think there's a lot of pressure on women to always be in a couple or to always kind of focus on the romantic aspect of their lives. And I kind of wanted to send the message that that's not the most important thing. And what's important is to be self-reliant and love yourself. And if you start from that place, then everything else kind of falls into place.
Kind of just look beyond love.
Yeah. Or beyond romantic love. Maybe like, because self-love is still a form of love, but it's not the...
Not the first thought.
Yeah, exactly. And so the main story arc goes from being a series of monologues to being a duologue. And that's where our male actor, Adam Venables, comes in. And he plays the main romantic interest of Cynthia. And then the relationship stages that they went through are explored in the kind of middle bit of the play.
All right, so it's kind of... Is this male character on stage when you start exploring it, or does he come?
No, he comes on kind of in the middle. So all the other people that Cynthia talks about, you can't really see, and then he's the only one that actually has a face. And
so once he starts getting involved, he appears.
Yeah.
Sounds good. What kind of inspired you to have like the two different styles of one thing in the book said about kind of a bit of like a stand-up comedy, like the dialogues and the Baton. What made you think you want to combine the two?
I think the stand-up comedy idea came from the saying that tragedy plus time equals comedy. So because these things have happened to me, but quite a long time ago, and at that time I didn't find them funny, but now I do. So that's kind of what inspired me to come up with the stand-up comedy premises. And then the verbatim side was because I didn't want this show to just showcase my idea of love or my experiences. I wanted it to be more universal, and I thought verbatim was the best means of achieving that.
Yeah. That's good. So it's kind of got a nice broad range of different experiences.
Yes, yes. That was the aim, and I think we achieved it, which is great.
That's good to hear. So one of the your show is one of the as part of IAF is one of part of the Kingston College Greats shows. How did you get involved in that? Are you involved with the college or?
Yes. So I just graduated from Kingston College this year. And the play was actually my dissertation performance.
Okay.
And then because my tutors liked it quite a lot, and they have this kind of tie with IAF.
Yeah.
Then they proposed my show to be one of the four from the college.
So they saw the shows it was on and said, your one's good, would you like to
come on? Yes.
I've known they've done it for a few years, but I've never known how they
That's the process. I was in a different one 2 years ago. That's kind of how our theater company started. And that was called the Olympians, and it was kind of the same process. So that's kind of how I found out about IF, and I realized that I want to get involved as well.
Okay. Having done, this is the second time at IF, how do you find the being in this kind of festival atmosphere? Does that?
I think it's lovely, and I think it grew a lot in the 2 years since I'd last done it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't involved last year, so I didn't know exactly what to expect.
Yeah.
But now I saw that it has so many different workshops and so many different ideas and even new awards with the Brighton Fringe one.
Yeah.
And all those things that I think just make it all the more exciting.
Yeah. And it's quite nice having different shows going on the bar.
Yes, definitely.
So have you got many? Are you going to see lots of the bits as well as?
Yes. So I saw Losing It. That I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that's some of that as well. A good show.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. And I'm gonna go see D, Myself, and I. And also all the college grades. Just to show support.
Do the different groups that are performing college grades? Do you kind of work, have you worked together at all?
Well, yes, I've worked with most of them because two of the other ones are, so there are people from the same year as me, so classmates from my course. I've had the chance to work with them and it was really fun. And I really enjoyed now seeing their work and what they've come up with.
That's good. So, as I said about IAF, you performing here, what are you doing afterwards? Are you doing more with Love to Bits or other?
Yes,
shows?
So we're working on producing both Love to Bits and our first show that our company did, the Olympians, and we already have two set dates for the Olympians, which are the 1st of October at Tara Arts and then the 7th at Kingshead Theatre.
Okay.
It might be the other way around, but I know it's on the 1st and the 7th of October. That I'm certain of. And then we are also looking to take Love to Bits to White Bear Theatre sometime in November end of November.
Oh, that sounds good. Thank you. Good to know it's got other things are carrying on after.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So do you want to add another bit of saying about what your shows are on at the festival and where else to look at?
Yes. So our show is on Thursday, the 12th, at 7 p.m. in Act Studio 101. That's inside the Kingston College building. And you can buy tickets online on the IF website or at the door. And after that, you can search for Eye Opening Theater on Facebook if you want to give us a follow, or Instagram or Twitter. We are on all of those, and we try to keep them as updated as possible. So if you want to have certain information about our future shows and what we're up to, you can just give us a follow. And yeah,
that's great. Is there anything else? That's great. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
As well.
Thank you.
now we have a curious dispute that come up. We're here talking about the show Life in Limbo. We've got two of the people involved with the company here. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Lily Vosper.
Hi, I'm Joseph Barker.
Right, so your show is called Life in Limbo.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the show.
Yeah, sure. So Life in Limbo, I wrote it about a year ago and it's been going through edits and edits, but it's a short comedy about a young gay man who's committed suicide and now he's in limbo. And limbo is just this chaotic place where everything's disorganized, but it's a few twists in it.
What characters are you in the show?
You
probably said and I've forgotten already.
don't worry. I play Hermes, who's this kind of she's like the secretary of Limbo, and she's very chaotic, and there's papers everywhere, and she doesn't really know what's going on, but she's really trying to do a good job.
Okay.
But she doesn't really know how to handle Cola and his suicide, but she's a good friend. She's kind of a good person you'd want around, but maybe not organising your life.
Me, on the other hand, I'm probably not your best friend, so I play Lucy, a.k.a. Lucifer, so the devil. I just basically come to Limbo now and again to just nose in on Homie's business, mess up a few things, and make everyone's life a living hell, basically. So I'm just there to be maybe the moral ground. I'm just there to basically have fun and maybe not take the craziness and the sadness of Limbo so seriously.
Yeah, I think Lucy's kind of the light in the dark in a weird way, because he is the devil, but he's the one kind of making light of everything, and kind of what you need to do in situations like that. So well done, devil.
sounds like quite interesting stuff. Obviously it sounds like, because it's a comedy show, do have quite a bit of fun on your
We do.
Like, it's a very physical piece as well.
Very physical, and it's a lot of fun. Like, I'm doing it with the cast, and we're always doing silly things and adding little improvisations in, and then it just works its way into the show because it's so funny at the time. Even if we don't know if anyone else is going to find it funny, we found it hilarious. So it's always being developed in the cast environment. It's really fun.
How's the show developed? So it's kind of, you had a script to start with, yeah. then you've got the cast and gone from there.
It's been a bit of a journey because I wrote the script about a year ago, roughly, and I wrote it and it wasn't in its prime, it wasn't perfect, and then I got a cast in, I had a director, and I just started editing, and then the director dropped out, and then half the cast dropped out, so I'm just there with the script so we got a few more people in, and then it was still not right, so we fired some people, which is harsh, but it's just kind of what you have to do, and then we finally got everyone together. And now, in its prime, it's just a brilliant script, and all the people in Limbo are some of my closest friends, and they will tell me straight, like, this does not work. And I'm like, okay, let's work on it. And then we just work on it as a collaboration, really, and it's wonderful, it really is. But it's nowhere near what it was from the beginning.
So it's kind of, if we'd seen it when it started out, it would be...
Different show, not as funny, and just a bit longer.
You find, I think, with a lot of new writing, you have to workshop it a lot. Writing new stuff, as we're starting out as a new theatre company, it's one of those things that we need. This is why we have a good kind of web of people that we know and trust to help us, because it's something that we will need extra help on. But from that, we get a really, really, really nice polished piece by the end of it.
What was lovely as well is when I wrote Limbo, I was in second year. Well, it was in first year and then just went into second year. So when I put on Limbo the first time, I only had me and another second year, kind of three, and the rest of them were third years and graduated. And what was lovely about that was that they were so willing to help and so willing to just give it a go, even if it wasn't what they had experienced before. So I think definitely having experienced people in our cast was a really, really great thing to have.
That's good. So it's just quite a good team effort.
Good team, very good team.
Good stuff. So, this is one of those part of the Kingston College Gates. Of several different shows from the college, have you had lots of help from other shows that are part of the festival? Part of these Kingston College girls helping out and involvement in other shows? Is that part of it?
I don't really think we've had so much help from them. It's not that they wouldn't give it. Like, I know if I went to any of these people who are in the Kingston College Greats and said, can you help me with this? They would be like, of course, and help out as much as they can. I think with our shows, we've kind of kept to what we're doing, but it's never in a negative way. It's just everyone's focused.
Everyone's got their own show to put on and produce.
Everyone's got their own stuff going on, but everyone, like, honestly, Joanna, Nick and Dujon, Curtis, just all of them, they're such amazing people, so talented, and they come to all the shows.
The support is there.
The support at Kingston College, honestly, if I can say anything about that place, is through the roof. They come to everything, they cheer, and they put it on Instagram and do everything. It's a wonderful environment.
There's good support network and contacts.
Oh, definitely.
Sure.
That's good stuff. So, there's one of the things that this show is about, features on, it's about suicide.
Yeah.
Did you have to consider like sensitivity? How much did you think about it could be seen as a sensitive issue? Kind of what thoughts did you have going into it, going into this, fighting it and preparing it? Did you have on that?
I think with the suicide aspect, what it started with is I never thought gay suicide in the UK was talked about enough. I mean, you hear about it from America and you do hear about suicide here. But, you know, the male suicide rate in the UK is so high, and a very high percentage of that is gay suicide. Yeah. And we don't want to make a light of it, but we didn't want to make it something where it was like, oh, this kid's killed himself, sad times. And it is a horrible time, but if you can make, the best way to, like, send a message is comedy.
Yeah, so it's kind of trying to make light of the issue.
Say, because Cohen is very complicated, he's basically, his family's very religious, and he just doesn't know how to cope with his feelings towards his boyfriend and his society, well, his mother, basically, society doing that, and his mother and father just grinding on him. So we're trying to, it's exploring that journey in a lighter way, rather than having someone sitting on a couch and talking about it.
Not looking at it just in a sad way.
No, I think there's better ways to talk to someone rather than sadly.
Sometimes if you satirize something which is, for example, if we're putting across this message that the whole debate with Limbo is that religion says one thing and people life is another thing, and it's the conflict between kind of being a gay man in a modern society but having a religious background. And sometimes by satirizing it or showing kind of what the negative thing is, but necessarily making fun of it or just kind of showing that this is ridiculous, like, why can't you just love someone if they're the same gender or sex as yourself, it shows the ridiculousness of it. And I mean, myself, I'm a gay guy and I grew up religious, and I can say that it's been a struggle for myself to do that. But why I think the bigger thing with Limbo is that it shows that you can be both in a way. It shouldn't have to be one or the other. And unfortunately, that it does lead to some people that feel so isolated that they go to these extremes. But I mean, recently there's been some progress in the press about male suicide with the figures on top of ITV building and stuff like that. But it's something that I'm so glad Lily has written, because it's not out there. It's not spoken about enough. And a lot of people do turn to things like drugs and alcohol and other demons in order to kind of suppress how they feel. So the show hopefully is going to touch on some issues. And obviously we want people to still feel sentiment towards it, but not necessarily feel like they're being lectured. And I feel like the show Limbo does that perfectly, where we can still have a good time, but still feel for this character and still kind of get something from the end of it, as well as entertainment.
It does also touch a little bit with the suicide. When you learn later on that he didn't necessarily mean at that time to kill himself, which is a very serious thing in suicide, because sometimes they're just not in the right headspace and they didn't actually mean to, and it's crazy, but it just happens. So it's hopefully with that particular scene, we've kind of, it's a bit touchy, but like hopefully we can send a little bit of a message of just take a minute. It's okay.
help people have a bit of understanding.
Hopefully.
I think as a new company, being part of a festival like IAF, has this helped you kind of come up with, you know, how to work and what, you know, helped you at all in kind of exposing yourself to, you know, the theatre world as a new company?
I think as far as IAF goes, like this company wasn't actually born until I found out that I was going to be doing it. I knew I wanted to have a theatre company, but I literally just wrote the show and then got put on, and then Kingston asked me to come and do it, and I was like, oh my God, yes. But I knew that from the IAF kind of gave me the kick up the bum to actually start thinking about the future and what I could be doing. So I founded Curious Dispute, and then I couldn't think of anyone better than Joseph to come along and do it with me, because like he's obviously my best friend, but he's also such, like, he's so motivated as well. So we talked about things, and then we also brought on board our good friend Jules, who's not here today, but Julian Briscoe, who's also got like this wacky comedic like writing pattern, and we just think with us three we could definitely sit down and have a good run of shows in our head. Like we do have a list which includes Joe's play as well. But yeah, I think IAF gave us a kick up the ass to actually get ourselves in gear and start really thinking seriously about our theatre company.
Okay, that's good. I know you've said about having this list of plays and now Joe's got a play. What plans do you have for the future, either with Life in Limbo or these other plays? Do you have anything set up, or is it still just plans?
So the next show after Limbo will probably be Feminazis. So
the name's revealed.
So this is a show that Lily and Jules are writing at the moment. So this will probably be premiering in February next year.
Most likely. So
so that will be starting then. So do you want to go into that?
Just a little bit. Like over summer, we wanted to do Limbo in festivals. So we got in IAF, which is, again, so grateful. Cannot wait to do it again. And it's definitely not the end for Limbo. But for summer, I'm going to be focusing on my new script, which is going to be in February. And it's called The Feminazis. So do with that what you will. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it is a comedy. And it's a dark comedy, again. So hopefully bringing light to a subject of some, it comes from darkness. But yeah.
Did you want to have one last plug for Life in Limbo here, and where else to check?
So Life in Limbo will be on the 13th of July at 8 o'clock in the ACT Theatre. You can buy your tickets at the Rose Theatre, or you can buy them on the Rose Theatre website. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we are at Life in Limbo the Play and Curious Dispute. We also have Facebook, so we update weekly. Please come check us out. We're a really fun company, and we're the cool mums of the internet.
Watch this space.
Watch this space. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much for coming on. It's been lovely to speak to you. Hope it all goes well for you.
Thank you.
So do we.